When you think summer, you think baseball. Even if you think, oh my gosh, it's summer and I hate baseball, you're still thinking about baseball.
In January of 2011, we got to talk to one of the game's true heroes, Hall of Famer Cal Ripken Jr. He joined us along with panelists Kerry O'Connor, Brian Babylon, and Faith Saley. And we began by asking him about how he felt about the player with the longest active streak, Matt Kemp, then at 204 games in a row.
Yes, I'm monitoring him very closely.
The fact is, if he plays five times as many games as he has now consecutively, he won't even be half the way to your mark. How do you explain that you were able to do that and the players of this era simply can't even get close?
Well, I think the mindset has changed a little bit. They're pumping a whole lot more money into the players. The investment's higher. And they want to be a little more cautious.
They're actually injecting them with money?
That's what it seems like. We're going through the free agent list. But certainly there's more at risk now, and the owners have taken a much more cautious approach.
You grew up in a baseball family. Obviously, your father, Cal Ripken Sr., played the game and was a coach. When you were a kid, did you ever... I mean, you hear stories about athletic kids who were pressured by their parents to play. Was that ever your experience?
No, my dad was away most of the time because baseball requires you to be away most of the time. So at home, my mom played the role of dad and my mom. And no pressure. You know, he wanted us to find what we love to do, all the kids in the family, and really going for it. That's his secret to success was to find something you love and then put all your might towards it.
When your mother was playing the role of both father and mother, did that include arguments? Did she stand there and go, he should play, he should be practicing? No, why don't you give him a break? No, he should be out there.
Well, she did have multiple personalities, yes.
That would help, I guess. And your brother played as well, Billy
yep.
Ripken?
Yeah, brother Billy was 4 years younger than me, and he got drafted and moved through the system and came to the big leagues around 87, and we were teammates.
Oh, that's great. And Billy Ripken, he, of course, has the greatest baseball card ever, doesn't he?
Yes, he wrote something on the bottom of the knob of the bat, kind of as an internal funny joke where he could find his bat more easily.
Yeah, I should say that the thing that he wrote on the thing on the bottom of his bat is unpronounceable on public radio. We cannot say it.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say it. Glad, good thing you stopped.
Oh,
me.
Yeah. Because I know you're famous for your foul mouth, Cal.
Is it a verb?
One's a noun.
Yeah.
Face is the second part of it.
Yes. It is. The second word is face, as you say. And the first word is a descriptor.
This is like a parlor game.
It really is.
This
is a clue that'll mean a lot to a public radio audience. It is an alliterative phrase. So go on. So he wrote this on the bottom of his bat, and...
A card photographer asked him if he would pose for a baseball card photo. And he lifted the bat up on his shoulder, and the knob was revealed, and he took the picture, and it went to print with that expression on the bottom of the bat.
Right.
That's really great.
You were... one of the reasons everybody was so excited. I remember so vividly that game where you broke the record and you ran around the field and shook everybody's hand, and it was a great, great moment. But one of the reasons people were so happy was, frankly, it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy, that you were a player that everybody could get behind. You were a gentleman on and off in the field. You were a role model, which is a role I know you take seriously. Does that ever get to be a drag? Do you ever, like, want to go out and behave really badly, but you can't because you're Cal Ripken Jr.?
The answer to that is yes. I'd like to be able to behave really badly and not have it matter.
Really?
You know, the funny part about it is I'm okay with being out in public, except when you get in a fight with your wife or you get in a fight with, you know, your kids, or your daughter calls you a name and storms off and you feel pretty helpless to do anything.
Does she call you the name that was on the bottom of your brother's bat?
Sorry, my daughter's name is Rachel. Sorry, Rachel, but yes, she did.
Did she really?
Oh, my goodness.
Did she really?
Does he know who you are? You're Cal Ripken Jr.
Exactly.
Mr. Ripken, did you have any rituals that you did every single time for 2,000-some-odd times?
How do I tell this to you in a way that doesn't make me look too bad?
Oh, no one's listening.
You know, some people didn't launder their shirt nor their underwear and all that kind of stuff, and all the time they played for superstitions. I didn't do that. But there was one piece of equipment I wore the whole time for the whole streak.
Really?
It was a metal cup
uh-huh.
that protected.
Yes.
We're with you.
My dad, it is kind of weird, and this is true, is that, you know, when we went away from home, Dad kind of brought me down, gave me an Oreo bag, and then presented me with a cup and said, you know, welcome to manhood.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Well, that's how he got his nickname, the Iron Man, right there.
Yeah, there you go.
Exactly. Do you still enjoy baseball? I mean, I know you run three minor league teams and you teach baseball, but do you ever say, oh, what shall I do this afternoon? I know. I shall go to the ballpark and take in a baseball game.
You know, I watch it not nearly as closely as I used to. And I'm also sucked into being the assistant coach of my boys' baseball team. I like...
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. You're the assistant coach? This guy is coaching the baseball team, and he's like looking over, and Cal Ripken's standing in the corner going, well, I don't know about that.
He's cutting oranges you could do, into quarters.
You could do that, says Cal Ripken Jr. If you want to. The assistant coach, what, was coaching too serious, too much of a commitment? Because I know how you are about commitment.
Well, you know, the secret here is that you get to run the team and you don't get blamed for the mistakes.
Cal Ripken, we are thrilled to have you with us and delighted to talk to you. But we have also asked you here to play a game we're calling...
You want to see a real streak? Here, hold my pants.
So you're known for your, quote, streak, but we don't think it counts as a streak because you played every game wearing clothes. We're going to ask you three questions about real streakers. Get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners. Carl's voice on their home answering machine. Carl, who is Cal Ripken Jr. playing for?
Cal is playing for Lorraine Shaw Cook of Eastchester, New York.
You ready to play, Cal?
I am.
All right, sir. One popular target for streakers every year is Wimbledon, the tennis tournament there. In fact, streaking is so common that one of these things is true. Is it A, an estimated 15% of ticket holders are there for the pastime known as streak peaking? B, you can place a bet with a bookie whether or not a streaker will appear at any given tournament? Or C, the stands all have signs saying any disrobing will not be tolerated?
I like number three.
You like number three? This is the very British
sign. That
signs.
Sounds very British.
Any disrobing will not be tolerated. That would be a charming British sign, but no, I'm afraid the answer was, in fact, a B. You can place a bet with bookies every year, so whether there'll be streakers. A recent Wimbledon, the bookies were giving 6-1 against.
Yeah, I thought that was winter ball. I messed up on that one.
Now, you still have two more chances. We know you don't give up. One of the greatest streakers of all time, or so he claims, is a man named Mark Roberts, and his greatest exploit was sneaking onto the field of the Super Bowl, dressed as a referee, but his attempt to shock America with his naked self on the field went wrong. What happened? Was it A, a player mistaking him for a real referee started screaming at him and he burst into tears? B, the Velcro in his tearaway pants got stuck, so he was arrested while still trying to tear off his pants? Or C, he did it right after the famous Janet Jackson wardrobe malfunction, so nobody cared.
I'd say the Velcro got stuck.
You think? He said, quizzically.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'm afraid it's not. The answer, in fact, was C.
It was.
But this guy did. This guy, again, he streaked all over the world, and he actually got onto the field of the Super Bowl dressed as a referee, and he tore off his clothes and danced around in a thong on the field until a player tackled him, and nobody noticed because they had all just seen Janet Jackson's boob. Last question. Even among streakers, there are some feats revered above all others, including which of these? One of these really happened. A, the guy who streaked at the Westminster Dog Show wearing nothing but a leash held by his clothed dog.
Please be true.
B, the woman who streaked by walking slowly and graciously naked down the red carpet at the 1977 Oscars. Or C, the man who ruined a naked rugby game by running across the field fully clothed.
Number one.
You're going to go for the guy who went to the streak to the Westminster Dog Show?
Yeah.
Naked with his clothed dog?
It's too bizarre, and I went with logic on the other two, so I'm going away from logic.
I'm afraid it's not true. I wish it were.
Me too.
I wish it were, but the answer is C. Dunedin, New Zealand hosts a naked rugby batch every year. And one year, a guy wearing a full suit of clothes ran right across the pitch, scandalizing the spectators.
The gall.
So I was 0-3.
Hold on. It's not official until we get the official scoring. So, Carl, how did Cal Ripken do in our quiz?
Well, one of the few times in his career, Peter, he struck out on this one. Three incorrect answers, so he needed at least two to win for Lorraine Shaw Cook.
Oh, well. But on the other hand, it was a streak.
Yeah, I gave up after the first two, by the way.
You did? You did. Cal Ripken gives up for the first time in his life. Cal Ripken Jr. is a 19-time All-Star member of the Baseball Hall of Fame. He is leading the search to find the 2011 inductee into the Energizer Keep Going Hall of Fame. Cal Ripken Jr., so thrilled to talk to you. Thank you so much for all you did for the game, for us watching the game, and for being here today. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the National Association of Realtors, an advocate for homeownership. More at houselogic.com/homeownership. The Melville Charitable Trust, supporting solutions to prevent and end homelessness, on the web at melvilletrust.org. And the Wallace Foundation, a source of ideas for improving education and enrichment for children, both in and out of school, at wallacefoundation.org. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, benevolent overlord. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our intern is Kate Casey. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Les Dolarchik and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. BJ Liederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Walchover and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog. The executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Michael Danforth. Thanks to all of our panelists, all of our guests, and thanks to all of you for listening. I am Peter Sagal, and we'll see you next week. This is NPR.